Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Save the Kids podcast. It's your one-stop shop for raising kids in this tech-heavy world. We bring on professionals and experts to give you all the tools you need to help your kids become fire-breathing warriors that have the strength to break out of the mold society has put them in. At the end of the day, we're all here for one reason: to help save some kids. I'm your host, Nate Webb. Let's get to it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Save the Kids podcast. It's your host, Nate Webb, live in Studio Salt Lake City area, and we got a show for you today. If you've been around here for a second, you've definitely heard our episodes with Brooke Romney. We've gone over her Modern Manners for Teens, both volumes, and we've had wonderful conversations. And today, we are back for yet another round, and I'm excited to have her here today. Now, for those of you who live under a rock, Brooke Romney is a writer, speaker, and connector, and is committed to sharing real life with a hopeful twist. She is the best-selling author of 3 books, 52 Modern Manners for Today's Teens, Volumes 1 and 2, and I Like Me Anyways, Embracing Imperfections, Connection, and Christ. Brooke comes from girly roots, but she has morphed into an outdoor, adventuring, dirt-loving mom of 4 boys, bless her heart. Meaningful connection with family, friends, strangers, and God is where she finds her purpose and joy. Welcome back to the show, Brooke. Good to have you back.
Thanks so much for having me, Nate.
Absolutely. So how you been? It has been a sec since we've had you on last. I mean, we were able to actually meet each other in person for the first time a few months ago when we met up for that panel of moms back in September for that episode we did. And that was a blast, but it's been a second.
Yeah, that was such a good episode. I highly encourage all your listeners to go listen to that one. It was fun to have so many different perspectives from really intentional parents all together. It was really fun.
That was a good time. It was a good time. And now here we are, like most of the way through the school year. How are your kids hanging in there? How old's your youngest right now?
So my youngest is a 6th grader. And then I only have a junior in high school. And my other two are graduated and moved
on. So you got two in the school system. So you got a junior and a man in middle school.
Yeah, 6th grader. Yeah. Well, we're still elementary in 6th grade.
Oh, so you guys do the whole junior high thing.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Man. Yeah. I can only imagine. It's that sweet spot in the year where February is like the longest month ever, even though it has the least amount of days, because you have like the longest consecutive amount of time without a break or a weekend or anything. And it's just so long. So we're getting there though. You recently came out with another book, this one geared towards kids versus your previous two that were more for teens. Tell us all about it.
So as parents were using Modern Manners for Teens, one of the most frequent messages I got was, we love these, they're working in our home, and we want to start earlier. We don't want to wait until our kids are teenagers to start teaching manners. And they had a point, right? It's so much easier to create systems in your home and expectations in your home when you start it early.
Right.
And so I was thinking about that and how useful some of those manners would have been earlier on. But not only that, but how different manners are for younger kids and the things that we have to tackle. And I was thinking back to when my kids were little and the small annoyances that were so consuming that actually kind of like weed themselves out by the time kids get to teens, but they're really important to do as younger kids. And so started brainstorming with my community, and we came up with a really awesome book that starts the manners. And when I say manners, I mean social norms, good relationships, awareness, and kindness earlier on.
So how do these ones differ from your previous two volumes that were geared towards teens? How did you approach that?
Yeah, I love that question. So we have about 10 of the manners in the kids' book you will find in the teens' books, whether it's volume 1 or volume 2. They're presented in a different way for a younger audience, but there's a little bit of an overlap. But there's probably at least 40 manners that are completely new. And when we were thinking about doing a kids' book, talked to a ton of parents with young kids right at this moment, and really wanted to make sure that these books were appealing to that age group. So what we have is, we still have the main manner, but we really worked to make sure they were as positive as possible. So the first manner, instead of it being stop interrupting, it's wait for your turn to talk. So it gives them a way to feel empowered, something they can do, not just
like you're getting after them, you're encouraging them.
Exactly. So most of the manners are from a positive standpoint. There's a few that we just couldn't figure out how to do that, and they just needed to be said anyway.
Don't be a jerk. No, I'm kidding.
So we do the main manner, and then we share a little bit about it. Then on the bottom, we have a why, because kids at that age, they're like, why do I have to wait for my turn to talk? So we want to make it really easy for parents. So there's a why for every manner. And then my favorite part of this book is on the back of each manner, there is a let's practice section. So let's say for the wait for your turn to talk on the back, it gives about 5 different scenarios that help them understand what it looks like to wait for their turn to talk. You can role play it. You can just discuss it, whatever works for your family. So one of them says, you're at the park and your mom is talking to another mom. You can't remember what your dog's name is. What do you do? You know? And it gives them a chance to reflect and see. But then there's also some that are a little trickier, right? Your mom and dad are having a conversation. You're supposed to be getting ready for your soccer game. You don't know what color you are that day. What do you do? So it's like, it helps them. There's a nuanced situation, right? And so it's like, you got to get ready. Your parents are talking. So we talk about creating like a little signal that lets your parents know that you have something to say, or being able to say, excuse me, mom, sorry to interrupt, but I need to know what color I'm wearing. It's so much better. Mom, right? So really working hard to empower the kids. And then at the end of those scenarios, we have a challenge for the whole family. We wanted this to be something that the whole family is working on together. So it feels much less like you guys are doing things wrong. To be honest, sometimes parents interrupt too. And it's a really great habit for everyone to get in to be polite and kind and aware.
I love that. I have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and 1-year-old. And I feel that in my soul whenever you say anything. Why? And the dad. Yes, dad. Oh, he listened. I don't know. Okay, tell me when you then to dad. Oh my gosh, child. So yeah, I actually really liked the explanation, the whys, because we got a copy of all your books, your modern manners for all of them. And the why part has been especially helpful when the 3-year-old's like, why? And I'm like, bam, right there.
Got you.
That's right. Why. Okay. Well, it's been awesome. With manners though, when we instill manners in our kids, how does that instill confidence?
So one of the things that I love about these books the very most, and really like my why behind writing them, was I wanted to help create kids who had confidence. And what these manners do is it allows kids to be able to feel competent with whatever situation comes up in their life. So knowledge and being able to know how you're supposed to exist in the world instead of being fearful, wondering, or just making mistakes constantly where people are bothered by you or annoyed by you or don't want you around or push you to the side. Those things help kids when they can do it well. It gives them a lot of confidence. So a kid who knows how to say, excuse me, or to not interrupt, that's a kid who understands the nuances of a kind of tricky situation, right? They know that if people are talking, they don't have to interrupt. They know how to be able to get somebody's attention. They know when the appropriate time is. And the thing that I love about this is when they do things right, like they're learning, people respond really well to them. Wow, your kid is so polite. Wow, thank you for waiting and not interrupting. You know, wow, you are so kind when you're at our house and you always put your dish away. We love having you. We'd like you to come back. So kids are getting this internal reinforcement because they know what to do in tricky situations or in new situations. And then they're also getting a lot of external reinforcement, not just because they're pretty or talented or smart, but because of who they are on the inside. And I love this. And then that positive reinforcement allows them to continue to do things that are positive, that make them feel good about themselves, that make other people around them feel good about who they are too. It's just a really wonderful way to start that confidence journey.
Yeah, it is, because I'm going to be honest, it can be really hard to teach manners sometimes, you know, to teens, to people who like have semi-cognizant thought. Why can it be so hard to teach them today, especially?
I think it's twofold. For one, parents and society don't expect it like they did anymore. And so before, like if someone didn't have manners, it was just like a very quick, like, this isn't okay and a punishment or something
right,
like that.
Right. Swift and sudden and fierce.
Yes. And we've moved away from that kind of parenting, which I think is really great. But we also don't want to lose the good things that that kind of parenting style right. had. There's a way for us to do it kindly, where it's empowering and where it's connective. And what I love about these books is it takes like a situation that might bring dissonance in a family, like a parent constantly saying, stop interrupting. That's not polite. Stop interrupting.
Right.
And it switches it to a very like connective and positive experience. Show me what you would do in this situation. Let's do this challenge as a family. You know, this week, I'm going to notice every time you wait for your turn to talk. That is the kind of family and the kind of relationships that I want to have with my kids.
Right.
But I also want to have kids that are prepared for the world that they're going to exist in.
Yeah.
And kids who have parents who never correct them, who never say that's not going to work in this situation, then they end up with the kids who are doing all these kinds of things out in the world. And then the world is going to correct them and not kindly, because what it's going to look like is we don't want you around. And that's hard.
Yeah. And that does the opposite of building confidence, that extinguishes confidence. And then they don't know how to behave. And
you can have a parent that tells a kid 1,000 times that they're the best and they're so amazing. And you get a kid that walks out into the world and doesn't know how to act in the world. And then they have the world and peers and teachers telling them the opposite message. And that's really confusing. And at some point, peers and the world are going to win because there's many more of them than there are of a parent. And so the more we can as parents help prepare them for a world is such a great service to them.
Yeah. And speaking of service, recently on Instagram, you posted a little challenge that you wanted the world to participate in, with a sneaky little challenge for grandmothers and caretakers and whatnot. Tell us a little bit about that. I thought it was so cute.
So one of the things that I have noticed is if you are the mom, you have your phone ready at all the good times to get the pictures of people. Right. And a lot of times it's of your kids, but like the older I get too, like I'm sentimental. I want to get it of my husband with my kids and the grandparents with the kids and the uncle with the new baby and all the things. And as I was looking through my phone roll, I was looking for a picture of me with a kid. So a podcast wanted one where it was like, you with your kids, not posed. And I was like, I don't even know if one of those exists. Seriously. Because who's taking that picture? Sometimes if you have teen girls, they'll do that. But I have all teen boys and no one is interested in like snapping that sweet moment, you know?
No one is more sentimental than mom.
Right? So I was looking through and I was like, I don't have just a candid picture of me mothering that's like been in the last probably like 6 years. And that was kind of a bummer to me because it's what I have devoted all of my life and time to.
Right.
And we've got a lot of posed pictures. I got a lot of selfies, you know, like, because I do love to get in the picture. I'm pretty serious about making sure I exist. But just those really sweet moments. And I just thought about it. And I thought, how cool would it be if we watched out for each other as moms and as grandmas? That we know how important those moments are. We know how sacred they are. We know how special they are. So what if we took it upon ourselves to snap that picture when we see a mom who's hugging her kid or reading to her child or taking the pictures for prom or like congratulating her son on a winning game, whatever that is, how cool would it be if there's another mom that stepped in and then just texted us that picture? And so that was my challenge, is that when you see a mom, and I'm not limiting to moms, I think dads often get someone taking the picture, which is why I didn't include that, but that's not always the case. So anytime you see a parent or a grandparent doing a great work with their own children, snap a picture, see if you can text it to them or DM it to them. And I think it just makes a difference for one, so we have them. But for two, it lets other people know that they're noticing the good work that you're doing, those small, great things that are happening.
I love that. I love that so much, especially because I feel like, you know, as parents, main caretakers, sometimes single fathers, mothers, whatever it may be, you just don't get to see that often. And I think it'd be so cool. It would make my flipping day if I was out with my boys and I get some random DM on Instagram. Someone took a picture from maybe a little creepy, but not really. But like, oh man, thank you so much. Also this, yeah, it'd be so cool. I love that so much. Kids can really give us a hard time, especially with their lack of manners. Recently, you had a little perspective change when one of your kids was having an especially hard time and giving you guys an especially hard time. A friend told you how they wish their child was more like yours. Tell us about that experience a little bit.
This happened a little while ago, but yeah, we were in one of those tricky parenting spots where I know everybody has had those moments with different kids. And it just kind of seemed like everything was going a little bit wrong. And when that happens, it's really hard as a parent to pull out of it. Like,
yeah,
you start seeing the wrong and then you keep focusing on the bad and you keep getting frustrated.
It's a spiral.
And it really is. And a friend just, we were sitting on some bleachers and she was just telling me how she admired these things in my son and how she wished her son had a couple of those similar qualities. And I was like, really? 'Cause your kid is like pretty awesome, like in all yeah. the ways, you know, like one of those stand up kids that, and as she was sharing that, it really helped me realize that even though we were going through a little bit of a hard time, there were still some amazing qualities and traits that he had. And this friend helped me shift my perspective to start looking for some of those and appreciating them. And it didn't mean that we weren't still having a hard time, but right. it did allow me to soften and also see the good. And I think it also helped me realize that even the kids who look like they have everything going right, their parents still struggle with things that they're wanting them to improve and things that are frustrating. And so, especially if your kid has like some struggles that are a little bit more out loud, that are a little bit more obvious, it's really easy as a parent to look around and think that no one else is going through hard times or struggling, or, yeah. you know, their teenagers always do the right thing. And we just don't know. And really, I think every parent of a teenager at many times is like, wow, how can we improve this? How can we work on this? This is an area we need to improve. And just kind of helps you feel like you're not alone.
Yeah, because we aren't. Like, we all struggle with our kids in different ways. And it's a matter in and of itself to be able to still see, hear, feel the good things, the good qualities that your child possesses, even in the midst of a struggle with a negative experience. Because I mean, parenting is trial and error, mostly error. We have to say sorry just as much, if not more, than our kids do. Because we're learning and going, especially with our oldest kids and the middle kids that hold it together. And even a little bit with our youngest, like we're all learning and growing. Now with your books, how do they help parents just make it more simple, to not make it so complicated?
Yeah, I think one of the hard things about parenting is, I think there's a lot of families with two working parents, you're working really hard. There's not as much time to just, hey, what do I want to teach today? And how do I want to teach it? And one of the goals of my book was to make this so simple for parents that it took no preparation and hardly any time. And you were still being able to communicate the really important things to your kids. For me, it was like, what do I want to make sure I teach them before they leave our home? Right?
Right.
And if you just sit down and think of how big that is and all the things you have to teach and all the ways you have to prepare them, it is so big, it makes you kind of just want to shut down and say, we'll just see how it goes. Right?
Right.
But when you have a template, when you have something that's like, hey, do you have 5 minutes a week? Do you have 5 minutes a week to gather your family? And it's like, yeah, I think I can do that. It's laid out. The words are there. The actions are there. And it's something that we can do. And a parent stopped me the other day and just said, it's just so nice to know that we're doing something.
Yeah,
I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know if my kids are going to take all of it out into the world. I don't know if they're going to, you know, be able to do everything we hoped they would. But it helps me as a parent to know that we're doing something.
I love that a lot. Speaking of, you know, the words, the actions, the challenges, why is the format of each page of each week so important?
Yeah, this is so for the teen book, one of the things that I knew had to happen was it had to be, and for both of them, but it had to be able to be something that we didn't forget. I think as parents, it's so easy to have all these great ideas and you're like, yes, I'm doing this. I'm so excited. And then it's like 7 p.m. and you're like, I think we'll just watch a show, right? Or I don't even remember those good ideas that I heard earlier on. And so one of the things that was really important is that it was out, like it was displayable. So I was seeing it, my kids were seeing it. And especially for teens, some teens are not going to want to sit around and do the powwow with you and be like, yes, let's all get together and, you know, have this connective moment. Some are a little pricklier during those years.
Right.
And so for me, having something that they could take in on their own was really, really important. And teens are doing it. They're taking it in on their own. They're doing it when nobody's watching. They're flipping the page because they want to be successful too. You know, they don't want to be left in the dust. They don't want to be left behind. And the other thing I love about this is a lot of people have families where it's like younger and older, teens and little kids. And I love that right now in our family, we're working on the kids book. We're doing that together.
Right.
But then we have the teen one displayed. So the teen is still taking it in. We're still flipping the page. And so it really is useful no matter what your family looks like.
That's awesome. Yeah, it really is. Like, and regardless of whichever book too, like you said, like, you know, there's 10 or so manners that, you know, are in all the books. And there's like 40-ish that are unique just to the kids one. But it works for your teens too. Now, as we say that, with those 40 brand new manners that you came up with for the new book, which one, in your humble opinion, is your favorite that has a little bit of your heart attached to it?
So the don't interrupt is one for sure. The wait for your turn to talk. But then there's another one that talks about making fun plans privately. And I think this one's really important, especially for our elementary school kids who are going to school and, you know, they're bringing three friends over after school, or they're at a basketball game and they're inviting
so they don't
a couple friends.
Exclude people.
And you can't invite all 20 kids in your class to your house.
You can't.
That's irrational. That's not something that most homes can handle or parents can handle. But it's really important to teach our kids that you don't walk into your class and say, I'm having Jane and Sally and Megan over for
and that's it.
And we're going to have so much fun. And my mom's going to take us to get sodas. And like, that's not kind. And, and I just think like helping our kids be aware because they're not trying to be unkind. They're just excited about their plans, you know, or if you're at a basketball game and you're going to invite three of your buddies over. You're going to go ahead and text their parents after you've walked out of the game, not like, hey, can I have so-and-so and so-and-so over? That's really unkind. I had a mom that sent me a message and her daughter's having a birthday party and she can only invite, you know, 8 friends. So there's going to be people that are excluded, but wherever they're going, that's just what there's room for. And her mom was reminding her, like, please don't talk about this on the bus or at school. And her daughter was just pushing on her, like, why? I want to. It's fun. I'm excited, you know. And then the mom brought that manner out. She remembered that manner was in the book. And so they went over the manner and her daughter was like, it would make me feel bad if I didn't get invited to someone else's birthday party and everyone was talking about it. Okay. And you know, it might not be a perfect solution. People might still say, hey, I'm so excited to come to your birthday party. But starting early, keeping our kids aware of others' feelings and being kind, I think is just one that kind of like has my heart. Because I think starting early will make a big difference.
Yeah. And as you talk about it, it pulls at my heartstrings too, because my oldest is 5. And so he's at that stage where he'll say those things and be affected by those things. And you know, it crushes my little dad heart when I see him sad. And when I see him make other people sad accidentally. And so helping to preserve the sweet souls of little kids so that, you know, they can be intentionally kind and not unintentionally unkind.
I love the way you said that.
As we wrap up, Right now, as we're recording, we're at the tail end of January. You listeners, it's probably going to be like March or something right now. But while we're recording, it's tail end of January. And, you know, start of the new year, a lot of people pick words or phrases and things like that. And you're a big phrase person when it comes to new years and new things. And this year you picked be generous for your 2024 phrase. Tell us about that and why you chose it.
Yeah, as I was thinking, I'm really big on choosing a phrase. I actually do goals too, more specific goals, but I love one phrase to guide my year. And what that does is it helps me when I'm making decisions to say, is this in line with who I want to be? So this year, I want to be a more generous person, and that bleeds into every area. So it's not just, you know, necessarily with money. But it's with time, it's with attention, it's with energy, it's with volunteering, and then also in the way I see people in situations. So when we talk about being generous, like, does it mean that I could give $5 extra when the school asks me for a donation? That might work for you, it might not, right? But could you volunteer in the classroom one time this year if you didn't did all last year? Could you put your phone down at night and be more generous with your energy, with your family? So those are the things that have kind of been on my mind. And then in the way that I see people and situations. So when I'm in a situation and my immediate reaction could be, wow, like that was so rude, or they're trying to just exclude me or whatever that is. Instead, I'm going to stop and say, what's the most generous interpretation of this situation? She must have been in a hurry, or I bet there's only room for a couple people. And to be honest, if I only were inviting a couple people, I probably wouldn't have had her in my 3 people that were going to come. So I cannot be bothered by not getting invited. With my kids, instead of like, they're so ungrateful. You know, it's like, wow, they must have a lot on their mind. Maybe I need to remind them about being grateful. Leaving their dishes in the sink, you know, instead of thinking like, we have gone over this so many times. Don't they know that we both work too and we're so busy? You know, it's like, okay, I bet they were rushing off to their job. That's why they didn't put it in the sink. We'll go over some of the expectations in the house later. This idea of being generous, I think it's already changed my January. You know, it's already helped me let go of some of those selfish tendencies. And I think, you know, there's a lot of messaging that says the more you think about the self, yourself, the happier you'll be. I just have not seen that truth in my own life. And so this theme is a way for me personally to be able to push against that and look for ways to open myself up to relationships, to giving, to kindness. And I think it's going to be a really great year.
I think so too. And Brooke, you are a light in a very dark world sometimes. So we appreciate you and all the wonderful things you always put out to help parents raise resilient kids in this tech heavy world. As we wrap up, how can people see what you're up to? Shameless plug time. Let's hear it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I am on Instagram at Brooke Romney Writes. We have an incredible community of parents who are willing to listen, to share their ideas, their voices. One of my favorite things about the community that we have is that we realize that there are a million different ways to be a good parent, and we support each other in that. And I love that. And then my books are on Amazon.
Yeah, they
and
are.
If you're in Utah, the
Costco,
still Costco, also in Arizona and in Idaho. It's a crazy great deal there because they don't have to ship or package. So go in and grab it there. But Amazon always. So thanks for having me, Nate.
Always. And all that will be in the podcast description. Go check her out. She is amazing. And just a reminder, if you'd like Save the Kids to come speak at your community church event, whatever it might be, please fill out a speaker request in the podcast description. Let's go save some kids. Always remember, you are wonderful, you are worthy, and you are worth it. Go home and give your kids an 8-second hug, and we'll see you on the next one.